Good morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and thankful that you're all here today, that we can gather around God's Word here and take a look at it and apply it closely to our lives. As most of you know, some of the methods or some of the style of my teaching has always been based on something current that has happened. Well, what has currently happened? All right, a horrible event that took place naturally in Oklahoma and did a lot of damage to property as well as a number of lives, and we'll talk more about that. But the focal point of that is, since that's been fresh in our mind, is to think about the storms that happen in life, is to consider what storms are in your life. What storms does God bring into your life? Why does He allow storms in our lives? And what do we do with those storms? And I guess the ultimate question that we're going to begin and end with today is, who is your shelter in that time of storm? We're going to be looking at the book of Psalm 107. And you can open your Bible in front of you, or you can follow the verses that will be on the screen up behind me. We're going to read the entire book of 107. And there's a reason for that. We're not going to cover every aspect of it this morning. But follow the theme that is sown through this passage today as we look into God's Word together. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. We could just stop right there, couldn't we? We could just stop right there. And I sit down, and we could just think about that for the rest of today. Good. God is good, and we need to thank Him for His goodness, for His loving kindness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders for the sons of men. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. There were who dwelt in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. For He has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joy and singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them, and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction, and he makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all in righteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful that we can be here today to gather around your word. And as it is your word, Father, that is being spoken, it would be our hearts that need to be tilled and to be worked and to be implanted with your truth. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open today. We would hear your word. We would meditate upon it. We would apply it to our lives. And ultimately, Lord, we'd be drawn closer to you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oklahoma. Tornado struck there earlier this week with winds over 200 miles per hour. I'm sure we saw that in the news, perhaps maybe even saw some footage of some things, some very disturbing things that took place. The devastation was enormous. This is a picture of one of the school buildings where many children died. The total death toll was 24 had died, 14 adults and 10 children. Interestingly enough, most of the children that had died or gotten killed due to this were not killed because of the tornado, but instead from the debris and suffocation that took place afterwards. The devastation in these situations is certainly great. People have its storms. There will be times that challenges are facing us each and every day. There are times that we will seem overwhelmed. Perhaps even a time when things seem impassable or hard to get through. That's life. And that's things that we can't always control. But the lives of storm are there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. Wesley, I've lost connection. You can just bring me the clicker up. I'll use that, please. Thanks, Thomas. So for you today is, how do you weather the storms of life? What is your anchor? What is your safe room? For many people that were in Oklahoma or in Monroe, there was a place where they had a safe room to go into. An inner chamber, inner room within the school, inner room within their house that protected them from this storm. And the question I have for you today is, what is your safe room? Who is your shelter in a time of storm? Today's title of the sermon. Let's go back to Psalm 107 and let's take a look at these verses in more detail. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. So when you're facing the storm of life, or perhaps you're in the middle of it, the question I ask you is, do you give thanks to the Lord? Do you really? When you're in the middle of the storm? I have to say I don't. When I'm in the middle of the storm of life, there's some challenge I'm facing. It is hard to give thanks to the Lord. Lasting. He has redeemed. He has redeemed who? Those who that have accepted Him as Lord and Master. It is we that He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And I want to be clear here, because doing my study on this, I would get my tongue all tangled up in adversary and adversity. Two different things, aren't they? Adversary and adversity. Does God promise to keep us out of adversity? No, He does not. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have things that come our way. God promises to keep us safe. He promises to provide us a way of escape. He promises to be our anchor in those troubling times. Verse 5, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. This idea of delivering us out of distresses, and that we feel that perhaps we're in a situation where we're in a state of hopelessness, a state where we don't see the way out. We don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. See what God has for us in that situation. Have you ever been in that point? And this is, I thought, a great visual image of this picture. And if you can tell or not, but she's really kind of stuck in a very narrow space, very narrow hallway, not much room for escape. But it's God then that reaches down and lifts the hand to help us get out. Hopelessness. Talked about it in Bible class today, didn't we? Hope in. Who is your trust in? All your stability. What do you have as your guarantee? Sometimes it takes us to get to that point where we are at the lowest for us to be able to look up and to see where our help comes from. It's promised that when we look up to Him and cry out, that He will deliver us out of our distress. That was verse 6 in Psalm 107. He promises us this. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable, which means it's beyond understanding. We can't even grasp it. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up like with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Who will? The ones that we read about in Psalm 107, those that cry out to the Lord. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. Prisoners. Think about that. You're in such a storm, you're in such a trial that you're captive. Can you imagine having your arms? I don't know anybody here. I hope there's nobody can raise their hand to say they have been shackled for long periods of time in chains. Perhaps there might be some brothers here that in Europe that went through some trials. But I think for the majority of us, we haven't any idea what that means. That would provide. Why? Because they had rebelled against the words of the God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. See, sometimes that storm comes, and it has us captive, and we're struggling just to survive. And it's perhaps as if we are shackled and tied up in chains, but it's because God is trying to get our attention. He wants us to look to Him. But often we instead look to ourselves for answers. Even the things around us for security. We run to our jobs. We buy more things. We do things that this world can try to provide. But ultimately still rebelling against God. Perhaps even blaming Him. How could God allow this tornado to come through Oklahoma? It wasn't those children's fault that that took place. Let's blame God then instead. Because that makes me feel better if I can blame the person that ultimately, or God, the being that has ultimate power. But that rebellion and that blame just leads us to misery. And for most times, often it is because of the choices that we made. And it, as we read in verse 12, stumbling around as if there was none to help. I'm sorry, let me go back to this 13th verse. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. See, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope that does exist. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and He broke their bands apart. He broke those chains and those shackles. And this is the pattern that we see throughout this whole psalm, the book of Psalm 107, is that God broke us down. They broke them down, broke them down, broke them down. But then they called out in their distress, and He promises to hear them and to deliver them and to bring them. Verse 23, those who go down to the seas in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea and rose up to the heavens and went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. Can you imagine? You're on this storm-tossed sea, up and down. You know, you have no control over that. That's what life storms are sometimes. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wit's end. They just didn't know where to turn. But then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So He guided them to their desired haven. I don't want us ever to forget here in this verse 25, this idea that He spoke, God spoke, and raised up the stormy wind. Let's never forget that ultimately God, in His sovereignty, even controls the storm, doesn't He? He does. And that sometimes is hard in our carnal minds to reconcile this idea of why bad things happen to what we think are good people, right? Right? Would you agree with me? We see it over and over again. But God in His sovereignty knows what He is doing, and He knows what He allows. And He does control the storm. He does control the situation that we're placed in. Be reminded here of the story of the disciples that were following Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8, where this idea that they followed Him into the boat and the storm came. Let's read this here. When He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there rose a great storm on the sea. The boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus Himself was asleep. Anybody see some debate on how old Christ was at this time taking place? Because any of us that have teenagers, you know I'm talking to, and those of you that are teenagers, can probably sleep through just about anything. There's this major storm going on, and Christ is asleep. Was He a teenager? No. No, He wasn't. Teenagers sleep through a train running through our house, right? And our kids can't get them up out of bed, right? Sleep. Why was He asleep? The storm. He knew what was happening. He didn't have to worry about that. wasn't in sleep as complacency, it was sleep as in trust. The disciples didn't see it that way. They rose up to the heaven. The disciples said, "Save us." They came and woke him up. "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That question again then, why does God allow storms, devastating, destructive storms, to come in life? Why? I believe he allows those storms to get us to look to him, to better to trust him. When we put our full trust in him, then we surrender our will for his. You hear what I said? When we learn to surrender our will for his will, that's where he wants us to be. We learn to grow, and then we're blessed. It is then in those situations that we can feel his presence. And perhaps as this picture shows a parent carrying their child out of the storm, it is Christ that will actually be carrying us out of the storm. Because our trust is in him. Our faith is that he is in control. We can rest when that storm comes, knowing that he is in control. We have to skip to the last verse of Psalm 107. Verse 43, it asks a simple question, who is wise? Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Do you consider yourself wise? Do you think you have it all under control? Even in the midst of the storm and the challenge that life brings, do you feel like you have the answers? Let's consider then what Jesus taught. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 for that. We all know, or many of us know, this parable that Christ referred to about the house being built. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, the teachings that Christ had, and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. The storm is going to come. It's going to pound against you. Your foundation, if it is not built on the rock, is unstable and is in danger of collapse. But if you are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the rock, then you will weather that storm. So now the question is, do you stand on the rock? Christ went on to say, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Be assured the storm will come. The storm will come. It will come again. And if your house is built on the sand, which perhaps could be your own agenda, it could be your own ideas, it could be the things that you think the world is providing as security and opportunity, perhaps it's your own accomplishments, perhaps it's your career, it's all going to fail. And great was its fall. How can we be sure that Jesus will save us? John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, it is not my intention here this morning to minimize the loss of life or the devastation that took place earlier this week. It's really not about that, the discussion today. It's really about the idea that your life is going to have storms. Your life is going to have challenges. And I'm going to ask the question, how will you weather that storm? What will you put your trust and your faith in when that storm comes? Life is going to bring storms, physical and spiritual. Storms of life push you toward God and His sovereignty, or will it push you away from Him into a state of self-reliance and ultimate failure? Many of you remember this simple little poem that was written, I don't even know how many years ago. It's the reason that your bulletin has it on the footprints on the front. The one on the bulletin is a bit more detailed than I think the original version was. I'm going to read you the version that I have here that I put on the screen. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I asked the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there were only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you." Some of you out there already know what this means. You've already experienced this in your life. For the most of you, it's made you stronger. And through that trying storm that God brought into your life, you were able to look to Him for your strength and became better because of it. But I'm fearful that some out there have never accepted God's love and His grace, and you are still in the middle of a storm. Perhaps you're in the eye of the storm and things have settled down for you. Jesus is the only rock. He's the only stability that's going to help you survive the storms that life is going to bring. He never promised that life on this earth would be easy, but He promised to take care of us if we trusted in Him and followed Him. Put your trust in God. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make Him your rock, so that when that life storm comes again, or if you're in the middle of it now, you will survive. Ask the praise band to come up and conclude us with a number, please.